Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Indy Racing League conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Please note that today's conference is being recorded. I will now turn the call over to Ms. Arnie Shreven. Ms. Shreven, you may begin.
Thank you very much, and welcome everybody to today's IZOD IndyCar Series conference call. We have three guests today, Lusso Dragon Racing co-owner Steve Lusso and Jay Penske, who earlier today announced they have merged their team with DeFerrin Motorsports, forming Lusso Dragon Racing DeFerrin Motorsports. We're also joined by Gilles DeFerrin. Gentlemen, thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Thank you.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you.
First question is for you, Steve. Some very exciting news for you, Jay, and the rest of your team today. Talk about today's announcement and the process of merging your race team with Gilles DeFerrin's team.
Yeah, no, it's great news, and it's really something that the three of us have been, you know, formulating and talking about for, well, at least a year, maybe even going back a little further. And, you know, really, as you know, Jay and I started the team a few years ago just running the Indy 500, and then we stepped it up to six races, and then we stepped it up to a full season. And our goal really all along has been to incrementally build the team, make it stronger, make it more competitive. And, you know, we're at the point now that we felt that, given last season's success with Rafa, that the right next step was to bring in a partner that could, you know, really fill out the team and have a racer's focus on the business. And, fortunately, through Jay's relationship with Jill, we were able to start those conversations a while ago and then successfully complete them. So it's a really great day for our team, obviously, but I think racing in general. I think it's going to be great to have another competitive team in the league this year.
All right, and the press release that was put out earlier today said that the team's going to emphasize technology and science. I know that's kind of the background all three of you have. How do you leverage that background to accomplish the emphasis on technology and science in the IZOD IndyCar Series?
Well, I think, yeah, as you say, I mean, I think there's multiple dimensions to that. You know, clearly Jay's focus on the new media side. My focus is more on the, you know, high-tech computer side. And then again, Jill's really from the, you know, how you implement that into a racing platform. As far as me specifically, one of the things that's happened over the last couple of years is more and more people have, you know, it's interesting just how exciting people are still about racing, and in particular Indy racing. And so one of the things that we've been playing around with is just how do we access a broader set of technical resources, whether or not they're at the university level or even at the corporate level, where people really want to get involved in and use their skills, you know, away from what their normal day jobs are. So we're gonna take advantage of some of those opportunities and then just deploy technology where we can, obviously in areas like CFD, simulation, things like that.
All right. Jay, I know you have a long-time friendship with Gilles. In fact, I think I read you've been talking about partnering with him since you guys decided to form a team. How excited are you to actually be working with Gilles?
Well, you know, Gilles and I have known each other for really over 10 years when he started originally racing for my dad. It's been fun to watch him, you know, one as a fan when he was driving for my dad's team, succeed as a driver, as a champion driver, and then also as a team owner recently. But this has been a huge step forward for Lusso Dragon Racing. I think getting to partner with not only someone who's a great friend, but has a similar drive to win, and then having the economics to make it possible, I think we're all really, really fortunate.
And I know you mentioned last year with Rafael Matos. Does this affect the team's relationship with Rafa?
I think in a big way. I think adding someone who's actually been in a race car before and has you know, raced at so many of these venues to provide that that tutelage and leadership there will be great for Rafa. It'll be a huge, I mean, clearly coming from the same country, someone he respects so much, I think this is really a match made in heaven.
You probably shared the news with Rafa. What was his reaction to hearing that Gilles was coming on board?
I think he picked up the phone and called Gilles within, I think, 5 seconds, hang up the phone, and was he was so excited he could barely stand it. So he's been so excited and just welcomes the opportunity to race with Gilles this year.
Plus, Jill can say stay calm in Portuguese much better than Jay or I can.
That's exactly right.
All right. Well, Jill, first, welcome back to the IZOD IndyCar Series. You must be pretty excited about joining forces with Steve and Jay.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, this feels very much like a homecoming in many ways. I mean, first of all, I think as Jay mentioned, you know, I mean, we've known each other for many years, and we've been talking about this for quite a while, and And frankly, I think that the more we spoke about it, the more we thought it made a lot of sense. You know, our skills are very complementary, and I think together we'll form a much stronger group than we would have done perhaps separately. And certainly from a personal standpoint, returning to IndyCar racing, yes, it feels good. You know, most of my career, most of my success, shall I say, as a professional driver, happened in IndyCar racing. Certainly some of the biggest headlines I was able to accomplish happened there, and I feel very, very good to be able to go back to IndyCar racing, not as a driver, but certainly as a team owner.
All right, and obviously you oversee the day-to-day operations of the team. What areas of the team do you think will see the immediate benefits of the merger?
Well, look, we're just landing here on the ground. I mean, as you probably saw in the release, I mean, we have a very strong focus on technology and the science of how to make racing cars go fast. You know, we're just starting. I mean, it's a young team. Both teams are young, in fact, and I think by pulling all our resources together, we'll have a better chance of doing well here in the short term. But it's certainly we're going to face some stiff competition and have a lot of work to do here.
All right, and let's open up for a Q&A from the media, please.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone phone. If you wish to be removed from the queue, please press the pound sign or the hash key. If you are using a speakerphone, you may need to pick up the handset first before pressing the numbers. Once again, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your touchtone phone. Our first question comes from Bruce Martin from Versus.com. Please go ahead.
Hi, Jay, Steve, and Jill. Congratulations on this merger.
Bruce, thank you.
Obviously,
thanks, Bruce.
It's, you know, with today's economy, we're going to have to see more combined efforts like this for teams to maybe be successful in auto racing. We've kind of seen a great deal of mergers in other forms of racing. Do you guys, you know, just talk about the economic impact? I know that Jill was trying to get a team together and found it, you know, it was getting to be a little bit difficult, but now here's a solution.
Well, I think a few things. I think, one, this wasn't driven by economics. It was driven by the will for all of us to compete and win at this level and in this series. But I think there's, you know, it's to bring in experience where you can have someone who's raced and won in these in this series, have that visibility for the team, coupled with, you know, the relationship that Steve and I have in the technology marketplace, I think were helpful. But I think this was you know, building on a strong core base, just making it stronger. I think that's been the focus of this merger, and I think that's the result we hope to see.
And if Jill could speak on that.
Sure, absolutely, Bruce. I mean, I would just echo exactly what Jay said and what I mentioned earlier. You know, I think we slowly came to the realization that we would be able to run a better operation by being together than being apart, especially because we're all different guys from different backgrounds, and we fit together very well, you know. And like I said, we're facing formidable opponents here, you know. Ganassi and Team Penske have been dominating the championship for the last several seasons, and the goal is to be as good as them, or if not better. And to be able to do that, we need to dig very deep and pull as many resources as we can together.
And also with the preseason test coming up next week, you know, can you give us a little bit of an idea of what all you guys need to do between now and then, and what your goals and objectives are when you get there next week?
Well, we have a lot to do, you know. It's you know, the certain practical aspect of the operation that I guess will remain intact here, certainly for the short term, because we have a race to run and have to prepare, and we'll slowly try to improve and add things to that. Here's my little whinge. I mean, unfortunately, we don't have that much opportunity to test. I mean, I would love to be able to hit the racetrack more than a couple of days before the race in Brazil.
Okay. Thank you, and good luck.
Thanks, Bruce.
Thank you, Bruce.
Our next question comes from Chris Jenkins from the Associated Press. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Chris.
Had a, the question was, you guys are fielding, the plan right now is one car full season for Rafa. Is that the plan right now? And will you look beyond that if additional funding comes available?
I think right now that's the plan, to run Rafa at all of the events this year, with the possibility of adding other cars in the future. I think it's certainly a goal of ours, but right now we're focused very much on every race incrementally doing a better job at all the tracks. Rafa raced last year, and some of the new tracks have been added this year.
Yeah, this is Joe. I think it's important that to understand that the bigger the we are, the more resources we'll be able to have, and certainly it would be nice to add to our program, and we're looking into that, but and make sure it's properly funded. But right now the focus is on Rafa.
Right, thanks, guys.
Yep, thank you.
Our next question comes from Kurt Cadden from Indianapolis Star. Please go ahead.
First of all, you guys got to shorten this name. I don't think I can get LDR DFM in a sentence, but we'll come up with something. I was going to ask you about the second car. What about the shop? Are you going to use Brownsburg, or are you using Indy?
We're going to use the Gas in the Alley shop this year.
Okay. Well, Jill, what's the status of your facility?
It's there.
It went to Perta, didn't it?
Say again?
Did it? Did I hear that it went to Brian Herta? Is that who's using that facility?
No. Right now we have two facilities.
Okay. Thank you.
You got it.
That was it?
Our next question comes from Mike Brithenell from the Detroit Free Press. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Jill, and the rest. Just one question for you, Jill. What do you teach Raphael? He's obviously a very good driver. What could make the difference in what you can say and what you can teach him?
Well, it's important, I think, for us to remind ourselves of his credentials here. I mean, here's a guy that really kind of struggled to... to a lot of blood, sweat, and tears to get to where he is, and the only reason that he got to where he is because he has actually been successful at every level that he's raced on so far, So we are dealing with I guess he's not a rookie anymore, but it's still, when you compare him to people like Elio and Dixon and Tony, he's a relative rookie. But nevertheless, a rookie with impeccable credentials. So I would say that, first of all, the raw material, I believe, is of very high quality, And frankly, I'm only getting to know Rafa now. I think for you to be able to transmit some of your experience and your knowledge to somebody, first you have to understand what makes them tick, And because my belief on this is horses for courses. Everybody has a few different buttons, and I have to learn how Rafa operates, because clearly he already does a decent job. I think his success has proven that.
And just one quick follow up, Jill. I know by the time May comes around, you'll be chafing at the bit to get in a second car and go racing. But seriously, would you ever consider driving at Indianapolis as a one-off?
I'll give you the very short answer. No.
I tried to talk him into that last year.
Maybe more like Steve in a car.
Yeah. And one other thing on Rafa. I mean, one of the things that we did in the off season really was, as Jill said, I mean, just from a pure driver skill level, obviously Rafa's a pretty unique individual, and that was what attracted us to him originally. Plus, just his mentality of the team's mission and working as a teammate. But then this off season, we pushed Rafa into a fitness program that was both physical and mental. So he's been doing a lot of training with Ed Downs down in Miami, so really pushing things in terms of mental discipline, physical discipline. So we think from a, you know, just from that perspective, Roth has probably, you know, stepped it up at least another notch. And then with Jill's guidance, I think the kid's going to be performing quite well this year.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Marshall Pruitt from Speed. Please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Jill.
Hey, Marshall. How are you?
Good, good. Gilles, question for you. What do you expect the impact to be most this year? Gilles DeFerrin's impact on the partnership with Lusso Dragon, or DeFerrin Motorsports' impact? I ask that because with Ando going to USF1, Will Phillips now at Highcroft, I guess I'm unclear on how fully staffed or how much staff you have left to kind of bring that DeFerrin imprint to your new partnership.
Well, you know, Marshall, I mean, teams are made of people and processes, you know, and certainly at the end of last year, we have lost a few of the people and some key guys, as you mentioned, two of them being John Anderson and Will Phillips, you know. And the reason that we lost them is because there was so much uncertainty as to what we were going to do, you know. The culture of the DeFerrin Motorsports remains. A lot of the processes that we created over the past couple of seasons are going to be integrated with what was going on with Lusso Dragon, and some of our personnel will probably come back and be a part of the team.
Quick follow-up for you, Gilles. Last year when we spoke, you'd mentioned that you'd played somewhat of an advisory role to Rafa as he moved into IndyCar and definitely lent him an ear whenever he needed it. Do you see any issues being able to transition from friend and mentor into more of a boss role, or is that something your existing relationship should make fall into place easily?
Marshall, let me make you the following parallel, you know. I started my relationship with Simon Pagenaud as a boss, you know, and today I would say he's my good friend and a mentor. So I really don't see any issues there. With Rafa, you know, I met him while driving go-karts, trying to get myself up to speed back in 2008. I mean, he's a great guy, and we struck in a good personal relationship. And I was happy for him that he had a great break with Steve and Jay last year. And I look forward to working with him. I really don't see any issues here.
Yeah, I would say just as an owner, I mean, and having spent a lot of time with professional athletes in a wide variety of sports, Roth is as good as it gets in terms of, you know, taking advice and you know, other forms of information during the race, after the race. I mean, he's definitely a team player. So, I don't think that there's a difference because Jill's an owner now versus an advisor. I mean, Rafa respects the advice that Jay gives him, I give him, and he's quite a talent, and he knows when to listen.
You guys, congratulations.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Gary Graves from USA Today. Please go ahead.
How's it going, guys?
Hi, Gary.
Hey, Gary, how are you?
All right, welcome back, Jill.
Thank you very much.
My question is, in terms of knocking off the two big guys and putting things together, how do you see the landscape? What indicators do you kind of see that could allow maybe another team to really challenge them, and how much of that, the competition that you all could put, really drove this deal?
Well, if I could maybe speak first about this, I mean, it's important to recognize how strong your competitors are, you know, and certainly both in the case of Team Penske and Target Ship Ganassi Racing. I mean, they don't come much better than those. You know, certainly Team Penske, I know from personal experience, you know, it's one of the best racing operations, I think, in the world full stop. And I think once you understand how high the bar is, I think it that in turn leads or pushes you to put a plan together to try to surpass that, shall I say, that high bar. So, you know, the bottom line here, Gary, is that we think that investment in technology, investment in the, shall I say, the science of performance, is really what is going to give us an edge. And we have plans to start making investment in this regard. I mean, Steve already mentioned some CFD. I mean, we already have some simulation capabilities. I think given the lack of testing, that's a very important area for us to develop. And I think, generally speaking, overall, we have to build our technical capabilities beyond those of our rivals. That's a process, though. I mean, it doesn't happen over time. Building a team with that kind of strength can frankly take several years, but at least we know what we have to get to.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star, then one on your phone. Our next question comes from Brett James from SI.com. Please go ahead. Mr. James, your line is open. If your phone's muted, can you please unmute it?
Hello?
I can hear me.
I got you now.
I'm sorry, I had a bad cell. But thanks for your time. I appreciate it. I know you spoke earlier about the commitment to the one car for now, but are you working on anything with a Graham Rahal, knowing he's sort of a foundation piece that's out there and can maybe be had right now? Are you working on anything with him?
I think we've got a ton of respect for Graham Rahal and everything he's done in this series. At this point, as we said, we're very much focused on Rafa. But if there was an opportunity that came up in the future that we could work with Graham, I think we'd be very interested. But at this point, our goal is to, as we said, incrementally improve on last year's performance, if not drastically improve. And we think by doing that, we got to focus on Rafa and continue to build him inside of Lucid Dragon Racing.
Okay. And for Gilles, knowing how interested and compelled you are about the technological aspect of racing, how interesting a period is the series getting into now with various new chassis designs and all sort of interesting new things to look at and think about as far as applying to the racing?
I think very excited. I think it gives everyone an opportunity to kind of reset the button. In a way, I mean, we've been using the same equipment now for several years. Certainly, there's a lot of teams that have amassed a huge amount of data and experience with that equipment, and that is a good way to gain a competitive advantage. And I think our job is over the next couple of years is to try to make up that difference, but also at the same time, create those tools and processes that would hopefully get us out of the blocks very quickly here with the new car.
Which of the chassis design proposals do you like?
Well, to be honest, I mean, I've been keeping a somewhat of a distance. I think certainly the Delta Wing proves to be a radical concept, shall I say, a great departure from what we used to seeing, and there's certainly very interesting aspects to it. But I think the same there's some interesting aspects of all the other proposals. I mean, we look forward to seeing what the final decision is. I think it's important for us that whatever decision is made, that IndyCars retain its what I believe is true nature. I mean, the cars have always been the fastest car in the planet. You know, in many ways, I think IndyCar was the original extreme sport. You know, the cars were known as the fastest cars, and I think that hopefully has that has to be part in my mind of the future direction of IndyCar. They have to retain that value.
Thanks, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Jim Pedley from RacingToday.com. Please go ahead.
Yes, this is for Jay and Steve, I guess. With one car, can you guys be as competitive as you want to be running just a one-car operation in a sport that seems to be dominated by multi-car operations?
I think it's a very good point. It's clearly the amount of data that you have by running two cars, and more importantly, the investment in R&D split across two cars makes a lot of sense. I think you know, as we look to build a team, I think it's a direction we're trying to grow into. At the same time, as we proved last year, winning the Rookie of the Year with a single car effort, it's possible to have success, and we look to build upon it. At the same time, you know, there's a lot of other things that go into this. In terms of having someone like Jill here to provide additional communication and understanding what's happening with the car, I think will be a huge benefit to Rafa. So we hope to have a few of those gains even from the partnership here with Jill. But it is a challenge, and I think it's something that we look forward to this year.
And Jill, how much of the way you do things is modeled after what you learned over at Penske? How much your plan comes from the way they planned, your methods and things like that? I guess I'm asking how much of Penske has rubbed off on you.
Well, it's that old debate, nature and nurture, isn't it? I'm a professional within motorsports, you know, and what I know, I suppose, is a collection of all of my experiences ever since I was racing go-karts in Brazil and working with my dad, who is, by the way, also an engineer. I think throughout my career I have been extremely fortunate to have driven and worked with some incredible people, to name a few, Jackie Stewart and Jim Hall and Roger Penske, you know. So and those experiences they tend to form you and mature you, and certainly the experience I had at Team Penske, it will stay with me forever, you know. Like I said, I have a ton of respect for Team Penske. I have been in Europe, I've driven in Europe, I've worked at teams in Europe. And I can tell you that they have one of the best operations that I have ever seen. So it's an experience that was a big part of my formation, shall I say. And I'm sure in one way or another you probably see part some characteristics of it showing up here and there. You know, I guess we have another Penske in the team too, so he's likely to influence the direction in that way also.
I should have qualified that to Roger. Thank you, guys.
Our next question comes from Eric Thomas from Raceline Radio Network. Please go ahead.
Jill, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
Can you maybe pin it down to one of the one biggest difference between the IndyCar series now compared to when what it was like when you were driving in it? Is there a way to do that?
Well, I think I'll start with the similarities
sure.
rather than the differences. I mean, certainly the series has been going back to a mixed format, which I welcome. You know, I mean, having races in short ovals, super speedways, street courses, and road courses, I think it's a great mix. I can tell you from experience, it's very difficult to master all those different disciplines to a very high degree, and I think it makes the champion a more worthy champion by having that mix of tracks. You know, we're still going at 230 odd miles an hour around speedways, and that's I guess another similarity. The biggest difference between then and now, in my mind, is that back then there was a lot of manufacturer competition, both in the chassis side, in the engine side, and in the tire side. So and the series now has moved more towards a single make format, and I think that's by force mostly of the current economic circumstances, and it's likely to continue to move in that direction. But I would like to see hopefully a move to create a framework so that manufacturer competition in every front can hopefully be part of the series again.
I know you enjoyed racing with the ALMS series in Canada, certainly at Mosport, but you've got to be looking forward to doing the IndyCar thing both in Toronto and in Edmonton as well.
Absolutely. Really looking forward to it. And I wish they could add Vancouver back as well. That was great.
Thanks, you guys. Best of luck with it. Good to have you in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Scott Morris from AutoRacing1.com. Please go ahead.
Thanks for your time here, guys. Actually, I have a two-part question. One's kind of related to a previous question. How much of your current team staff, Jill, is literally being merged into this effort? And I mean, that's going to be a lot of guys under the tent there, the transporter.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
How much of your team is going to actually be merged into this? Will you be reducing the personnel from your team? I mean, in terms of actual people, I think someone asked how much of your team was left, but
uh-huh.
More specifically, you know, if you're merging two teams and you're running one car, that's a lot of guys to pay, and that's a lot of chefs in the soup.
Well, absolutely. I mean, look, I think that the biggest investment we can make is in people, you know, and the headcount it certainly will be increasing from what Lusso Dragon had from last year. So we'll be adding people from what we had last year. I mean, it's important that everybody fits within a structure and they have clear roles and responsibilities. Certainly, I think in general you don't want too much overlap, and that's really has been my work here over the last few weeks, is to try to figure out a good structure for us to move forward. Right now, we have moved three people that were the Ferrari Motorsports to be part of the new operation, and the headcount may increase further.
Okay. My second question goes to rumors. It was a pretty heavy rumor, though, when you were looking to run DeFerrin Motorsports independently, there was rumors about Takuma Sato, and I was curious what came of that, or do you have anything to say about Sato or what he's doing or where that went?
Well, I mean, I think Sato is the best person to say what Sato is going to do. I think the source of those rumors are the fact that both Taco and I worked together back in Honda in Formula One, you know, and we had a good professional and, may I say, good personal relationship. And when he showed an interest in IndyCars, we spoke a lot about it. But beyond, I would say, a team owner and driver sort of conversation, you know, it was a conversation about the sport in America and what direction he wanted to take with his life and his career. I think beyond that, you really should talk to him about what he wants to do with his future. But if he came to IndyCar, I'm sure he'll be a great asset. I mean, he's a very good driver, and he's, shall I say, a very popular driver in Japan, and he'll bring a lot of fans to the series from around the world, which I think is a positive.
So you guys aren't talking to him about anything relative to this merged effort then?
Well, you know, I mean, a lot of these conversations that we have are confidential, so I'm sure you appreciate that.
Yeah.
Many of those.
Hello?
As Jay said, I mean, for now we're concentrating on Rafa. You know, we would like to expand the team because simply that just give us more resources. But the point is, it's expanding in the right way, you know, with the right amount of funding, so that we can make the right investment and make it worthwhile for everyone involved.
My last question is more on a humorous note. When you have conversations with Sato, are they? And does he speak Portuguese or do you speak Japanese?
It's in English.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
I speak and he speaks.
I appreciate that. Thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you.
All right.
Our next question comes from Dan Bridges from Indianapolis Reporter. Please go ahead.
Gentlemen, thank you for your time today and congratulations
thank
on your merged entry.
Thank you.
My question is for Jill. Jill, you talked very adamantly earlier in the call about not being interested in one off in the Indianapolis 500. With your world-class driving credentials, you are someone, obviously, that would appeal to a sponsor. Might you reconsider that if, indeed, the financial package from a prospective sponsor also wanted you to be part of the effort?
You want the short or the long version?
Let's go with the long version.
Well, I'll start with the short. The short version is no. The long version is the following. I think, you know, IndyCar racing is highly competitive, you know, and I found it hard enough to be competitive when I was doing it full time, and it was the sole focus of my life. You know, all I thought about was how could I make myself a better driver. And that, believe me, sometimes not even time, but it takes a lot of focus. And as I was finding already, just by running the Ferramore Sports at the American Le Mans Series and trying to improve the team and grow the team and so on and so forth, I was finding increasingly difficult to perform both functions, certainly to my standards. And so it's I find it impossible to compete at the level of that it would take for me to attempt, shall I say, a win in a race such as the Indy 500, and attempt to run our new team, Lucid Dragon Racing, and the Ferramore Sports as a world class organization. I mean, the two tasks, frankly, simply too much for one person at one time.
Well, you talked earlier about how difficult it was to master all four formats that are currently being utilized in the IZOD Indy Racing League. You were as good as anyone has ever been at it, and trying to remain objective here as a member of the media, as a racing fan, I hope you might reconsider that comeback bid. And I wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, thank you for your time.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Really appreciate that.
Our next question comes from Bruce Martin from Versus.com. Please go ahead.
Jay, I'm going to ask you a little bit of a different type of question. I think growing up, every kid remembers when they were finally able to beat their dad on the basketball court or on the golf course. What's it going to be like for you when you finally beat him on the racetrack?
He's got to beat him on the basketball court
first. Basketball court first, yeah. On the hockey rink first, probably. Well, you know, there's not a bigger fan, I think, in the world of my dad's racing team and what he's done than I am. And he's, you know, one of my true idols in my life and someone I respect and look up to so much. So, you know, first of all, it's been fun just being able to show up every weekend and compete against him. And when we've had the opportunities to run ahead of him in practice or finish ahead of him a few races, it's been really rewarding. But we're out here to win, and we want to penske every day against Penske Racing, and hopefully finish ahead of him a lot more in 2010 than we did in 2009.
Thank you.
You got it.
Our next question comes from Tony Johns from popovalve.com. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and gentlemen, congratulations, and thanks for taking time out from the Olympics to be in this conference today. And my question deals with a bit of the future of Lusso Dragon DeFerrin Motorsports in terms of the development of your team's future. Are you planning on establishing a Firestone Indy Lights team or a partnership with an existing Indy Lights team going forward for prospect drivers?
Jay, and Steve, do you want me to answer that, or you guys want to comment on it?
Sure. I think we've been looking for a while to try to do more with the Lights series. I think there's been so many great drivers that have come out to the series. Clearly, we've seen many champions leave there and enter in the Indy series. So it's something I think we're always looking at. I think it's part of building this team. Where there's economics and opportunities to do so, I think we'll be one of the first teams there trying to put something like that together. At the same time, we have a budget to run one car effectively this year, and that's our goal and that's the plan.
Great. Thanks. Thanks very much.
You got it.
Gentlemen, I think that's all the questions we have for you today. Thank you for your time.
Great, thank you. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much.
All right, and that wraps up today's iZod IndyCar Series teleconference. This teleconference will be available on digital tape replay approximately 1 hour following the conclusion of today's call. To access that system, participants need to dial 888-843-8996 or 630-652-3044 and enter today's passcode 667-4241. A transcript of today's call will be posted to the IndyCar Series media website at www.indycar.com/media. The username is media. The password is IndyCar. Thank you, everyone, for participating in today's call.
Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. Thank you for participating. You may all disconnect.